Paul, I remember a couple of years ago, everybody kept talking about Patrick Laine all the time and not a lot talked about Josh Morrissey. Just a thought on the development that he's continuing to do here right now, a big goal, another assist for you, getting a chance to work with your number one power play and one of the more noticeable guys again tonight.
The surprise isn't the offense, right? From day one when he came in, it had such a huge impact on structure of our back end, who plays with whom. The surprise was his defensive game and how strong he was. We felt the offensive part would always come in, especially when you watched his progression. You know, he's so conscious of that and doing the right thing defensively that that was his main focus, and it still is. Still a strength, but he has an ability to move the puck and read offensively, and now you're just seeing him do it. Yeah, absolutely getting some power play time with that unit. Best unit might have been the other one with their first power play. It was so dominant. It was really, you know, I think three things happened in that second period to change the flow of that game. Lowry's hit, Bufflin's hit on that power play that started it. And so there's lots of good things about the way it's structured now. If Little's unit comes out second, we've got two defensemen on the back end of that. So the end of power plays aren't a challenge in terms of changing your bench. And Josh, the other unit too, Dustin's, it's a different structure, so it really needs somebody to shoot the puck from up top. Matty Perreault loves being at the front of the net, and Buff loves shooting at him.
It's kind of on that note, another night where we're able to win the special teams battle on both sides of it.
Yeah, we've only had two nights that, St. Louis, you know, Connor was the penalty killer we threw at him. But after that, with the exception of the Dallas Edmonton, we've been real good on the kill. Oh, it's all part of my plan.
Paul, you've been looking for a little bit more for and from your fourth line when they can deliver the game-winning goal. What does that do for your group as a whole?
Well, it's a rightful payoff. These games, the structure of them in terms of the power plays, penalty kills, and a lot of it for those guys getting ice time is when the whistle blows. You know, the number of seconds on the shift, who's coming off the bench. They didn't get to play a whole heck of a lot again. But they were right again in their offensive zone, and some good control, and Matty Perreault's really good at finding that slot hole. But the bench loves it when those guys score, and they were great tonight. Matty Perreault's talking the entire game, and it's good for him. You know, it's why that power play unit's so important for them, that Perreault gets out there and he gets important minutes on it.
Blake was mentioning that he feels that it's been a bit of a grind, but you're still finding a way to get results. I mean, what does that do for the long-term vision, I mean, in terms of what you're selling and where you're trying to get to?
The grind's not ending, right? So I think I talked about it up here. You looked at your week. You knew that Carolina, Vancouver, and Arizona would be all certain style of game, certain kind of game from two of the teams, very high shot volume teams. Some good puck movers, some good finish, and they're on the puck really good, so they're going to grind those kind of games. But we're sure we're looking to get better. We're trying to do that every single day, but we're not expecting permanence on our next really good game and that we've arrived. We have to grind this thing. That's what the regular season is.
So obviously you look for saves from your backup goalie, 240-plus save efforts. I mean, what is he doing to instill confidence with your group?
Well, he's just doing what he did in training camp, right from day one. And you got a new goaltender in, the players will watch that. But he did it this week, too, to Scheifele's line again, and he did it to him about day three in camp where he robbed them all on saves that you probably shouldn't be able to make. So when he gets into the net, the guys have a lot of confidence in him, and he's a very fit man, so he's able to handle the high-volume games, and he's been, I mean, that pad save he made there in the second when he lost his stick was just outstanding.
Just a couple questions about specific moments. Leading up to Lowry's tip-in goal, he got an offensive zone face-off 4-on-4. You usually don't see Lowry at 4-on-4 too often. What were you looking for on that play?
Just it was a late change in how we were coming off, and it had to do with what I had used up beforehand more than anything else. It wasn't, you know, Lowry's take a weak side draw because we're looking for the offense. It was just how we had gotten to that point. But, you know, part of this may not statistically bear out, it does on that goal, but part of Morrissey 5-on-5 and Trouba will be able to generate more points. A lot of nights they play behind Lowry, And in order to generate points, they're going to need that forward group to get the offensive chances. And you're seeing that line emerge now and getting offense each night. So there's a better opportunity for the two defensemen that play behind to play in an offensive role.
You don't see too many three forward, two defenseman power play units anymore.
Right.
But
right.
Those three forwards were finding lanes and they were carving things apart quite well. What did they do well? What worked for that unit tonight?
Well, it was quick puck movement, right? The only time it slowed down is when we slowed it on the half wall a little bit. And I think Nick Ehlers realized, hey, well, I don't want to do this. Perreault does a phenomenal job of releasing from the net front at the right time. So the challenge is, are you going to have a guy on the goal line or are you going to have a guy with net front? Well, if you have Dustin Byfuglien on the ice, the chances should be that you should have a guy net front. He's probably going to shoot it. But Nick Ehlers needs somebody to release the puck to when he's under pressure. And Matty Perreault does a brilliant job of when to go and when not to go. So in almost all of the times that we put the puck to the net, there's somebody there. He's not late getting there. He's there at the start. And that's what Dustin and all of them started to do. They were pressuring up on Nicky, on Dustin, and on Tyler on the other side of the way. So there's going to be a two-on-one to the front of the net. And they recognized that and started funneling pucks to the net. We got so many really good chances on that. And I think Brian Little's stick was broken at the time. I'm not sure you could get much on that shot.
Paul, just going back to Morrissey for a second. When a guy has to put the offensive side of his game, not to the side, but make it secondary, how tough is it to go back to being an offensive player, especially given the role that he plays in that shutdown position?
In his situation, it's easier. So the challenge for him to come into the league wasn't the offensive side. He had just, you know, fantastic numbers as a junior. And he gets to the National Hockey League. It's how much can we put him on the ice because of his defensive game? So usually these guys take 3 or 4 years before the coach is really comfortable putting him on the ice enough so he gets off out of the 5-6 hole. Sometimes those guys, as young guys, will sit there and they'll get second unit power play time. So that's where they get their numbers. And they develop. He's just done it completely backwards, right? He came in as an offensive guy, but he excelled defensively and built that game. We had other people run on the power play and ran fifth best, I think, last year. So we had a strong there was no need to shake things up and make a change. He has at times run it in practice, so it's kind of where it starts. The way he moves as a lefty, he gets over well enough that he can still make the pass. It's an easier pass once he turns the corner to give it to Patty than it is for Dustin Byfuglien based on their hands. But you really have to be able to move well to do that. And he moves very well and he's able to do that. So Patty's touching the puck a little bit more on the other side of the ice. And Dustin is a pure shooter. I mean, that's really where he excels, getting pucks in that. But there needs to be net front traffic. So it's a good balance. We'll flip them back and forth. Whoever's on the ice, the freshest guys go. And I do like finishing with the little unit because it's got two defensemen on it.
The 16 shots in the first period, you've had moments like that. Your team has had moments where the other team has been piling on throughout the season. You don't need me to tell you that in moments like that, the other team can get rolling and the game can be over before it even begins. What is it about your defensive structure, or maybe it's simply your goaltending, that has allowed you, for the most part, to survive those moments and get out relatively unscathed quite often this year?
Well, it's not a whole lot for structure. I would say that you're seeing some, almost as a philosophy of style of game. So Carolina today loses 3-1. I think the shots were about 41-42-21, right? So we're seeing that more and more. Big volume number. Teams. They're shooting absolutely everything. So the only concern I have with that is zone time, if we're spending too much time on our end of the ice. And we had 7 pucks in the neutral zone that we didn't make the right call on. We either didn't get it deeper, made the decision not to get it deeper, we tried something else. That shifted the first period for us. That was the thing that caused this problem. If you give any team enough time in your end, you're going to have a problem. For the most part, we don't. Rush chances are more dangerous to get for us than zone time, D-zone. Our D-zone is going to be fine. We got enough big men back there that can reach out and kill a play. We don't do a great job getting a lot of blocks up top, but we get enough. You know, we got good center iceman that can handle the heavy lifting down low. So it's just about zone time for our team.
Loren said something that I've heard Connor say before about playing behind this team and its defensive structure. He has to worry a lot less than he may have in the past about, you know, seam passes and going the other
Correct.
Way allows them to. From what we've seen from your goaltender, is that a function of quite a bit how the team plays in front of him?
Would be a priority for us. So the the 4-2 goals, a four-man rush executed perfectly. We give up a bump back. Not a seam pass. It comes from the middle, but it might as well be a seam pass. It's very difficult for the goaltender to stop. So our 5-on-5 play and our penalty kill will give the outside shot to avoid the seam pass.
Is